Lean machine, jelly bean.
That's cute.
You're not going to get that joke until later.
Yeah. Oh, we did something interesting this episode. We did something.
What do you
cross fucking? We did like guys. I'm sick, so yeah. I sound a bit dumber today.
And before you think that Crystal is the reason that we took so long to record this episode, it's actually me. I got COVID, and the next thing you know, it's August.
Yeah. But we're back now.
Like, people have been telling us we miss fucking Spooky Bitch Gang. Bring
honestly,
it back.
Yeah. And you know what? Pay us. No, just kidding. Thanks for listening.
It's not a bad idea.
What was I trying to say? Oh, that we did some visual content today as well.
Yes. Yeah, well, you'll see it on our Instagram. It might have gone up by the time this episode goes out. It might not have. We're not going to commit to anything.
Yeah.
But yeah, Spooky Bitch Gang is back. We're sorry we had a little unplanned mid-year hiatus. But you know what? Real podcasts, I noticed, were doing that too. So that's
yeah,
like a normal
you got
thing.
Seasons and whatever.
Yeah, so this is like season – are we up to season 4?
I feel like it's more, maybe 6.
Are yeah. you insane?
We've been doing this for years.
Not 6 years.
No, but the seasons aren't a whole year.
The seasons, the way we've been doing it, it's a whole year.
Really? I thought we always take breaks.
I mean, yeah, just because we're like,
and that's the end of the season.
Oh, okay. So yeah. We've got some seasons that are one episode. And then yeah. So in that case, we're up to like season 27.
Okay, cool. Good for us.
Anyway, we're back.
We're back. And you know what? Did you ever watch The Black Phone? Is that what it's called?
No.
The Black Phone?
I haven't
or is it just
seen
Black
it yet.
Phone?
I think it's The Black Phone.
That's weird that you haven't watched it because, you know, if people are saying it's like the scariest fucking movie. It's the best horror movie
every
of the year.
Every time
blah, blah,
people
blah.
Say that.
And isn't it made by the same person who made Sinister? And it's the same thing?
I fucking hate Sinister.
Yeah. I watched The Black Phone. It's okay.
Okay.
It's good enough to watch, but like it's not what they're saying.
You saw it at the cinema?
I did see it at the cinema. There is a lot to like about it, especially Ethan Hawke shirtless with like a belt and just his body like out there sitting on a chair.
It seems like Sinister meets the Poughkeepsie Tapes.
Yes, it is kind of like that. And also, like, it's very Stir of Echoes. Do you remember that movie?
I hated that movie.
It's like that. It's so more shit. Of a thriller, like a crime thriller than a horror movie.
Okay.
I would say.
I'm down with that.
So it was kind of boring. And also the stakes, there's kind of no stakes because of the whole, this like plot device that they use the whole time.
Which is the black phone?
Well, it's connected to the black phone.
Okay.
I don't know how much into spoilies to get because it's still
it's
out.
It's a pretty new movie.
Yeah. But basically, like the whole premise of the movie kind of works to lessen the stakes, which is...
Okay. That's not what you want in a horror movie. You want to feel tension.
And there's no tension because you kind of know the whole time what's going to happen.
Right.
So it's a little bit of a letdown, but there's a lot to like about it and there's some fun characters. Actually, all the characters were like very fleshed out and likable.
It's good to see that in a film.
Yeah. Especially with kids because usually people just phone those ones in. And yeah, Ethan Hawke.
Yeah,
that maybe because I'm trying to think. I'm trying to think of what to dress as for Halloween.
You should go as the phone.
I was thinking because it's you know how you want to do like something that's scary but also sexy at the same time.
Yeah,
so you have plausible deniability. And I was thinking Ethan Hawke in this movie as the villain. He's scary and sexy.
So
he has this thing where like. You know, it's about, like, he abducts children and then he, like, in one scene he's waiting for the kid upstairs and he's sitting – and this is in the trailer, so I'm not spoiling anything. He's sitting on the chair and he's got a scary mask on.
Uh-huh.
He's got a shirt, open, so you can see his whole big body.
Love that.
And
big body.
Yeah, he's, like, he's looking good. And then he's just holding this, like, belt across his lap. Like, he's going to beat the shit out of you with. And honestly, there's nothing I've ever seen that's hotter than that image. So I was like, if I do that and I get some nipple covers or something, don't you think that would be, like, such a great costume? And I get to sit down the whole night.
I mean, it kind of reminds me of, like my dad used to hit me with a belt.
Same. Oh, no, my dad, but my
your mom. Yeah. So, like,
yeah.
Not really sexy.
Oh, okay. Fine. Someone's been to therapy.
No, I haven't. How dare you?
Anyway, yeah, I don't know. Everyone tell us what your costume ideas are because
it's coming
up. Be cooking something up, you know, keep your ears pricked up because we might have something interesting to do around this.
Fuck, we got to get to work on that.
Yeah, oh my God, don't expose us. But yeah, think about your costumes and tell me if you reckon I'd be hot in that or if you have a better idea for like a hot and scary costume, send it to me because I want some ideas. I'm always bad with like thinking of the ideas.
You should go as climate change.
Oh, my God. Jesus. What else? Oh, I watched another movie. Have you ever seen that movie, The Night?
Is that Night with a K?
No, it's with an N. Just an N. Just
no the K. N. This is the letter N. Yeah. What's The Night? I've never seen it.
I feel like it's Iranian.
Oh.
Did I make that up? It's from 2020. Yeah, it's like an Iranian couple and they're like trapped in like this one night and it's honestly really good.
Is it like a time loop movie?
It's kind of a time loop movie, kind of. Yeah, they're kind of stuck.
I wish we'd known about that when we did the time loop episode. You guys should go listen to the time loop episode if you haven't.
Yeah.
Because this one so far is not that good.
What, this episode?
I'm kidding.
Oh my God. Scott, you need to work on your pitching because I feel like anytime we talk about SBG, you just like talk shit about us. But actually, it's this is charming. Such a great podcast. Well, I think you need to cool it a bit. Also, we didn't even intro it. This is Spooky Bitch Gang. I'm Crystal. You're Scott.
I said it's Spooky Bitch Gang. We just didn't say our names yet.
And it's a podcast where we talk about horror movies and whatever.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So back to The Night. It's this Iranian couple and they're stuck in this time loop. And there was a lot about it that was kind of like, especially in the end, it just felt like, okay, this could be kind of worked out a bit further.
Mm-hmm.
But it was spooky. It really scared the shit out of me. There's some really good scares in it and it's really well made and I would highly recommend watching it.
Okay. All right. So it seems like Iran is producing a lot of,
more
horror movies than you'd expect because like I associate Iranian film with stuff like Abbas Kiarostami and Jafar Panahi where it's like super realistic, like really downer stuff.
Yeah.
But there was also Under the Shadow, which I had on my Hooptober list last year but never got around to watching.
Uh-huh.
And that one sounds great too.
Oh, it's really good actually. Like I was very surprised, pleasantly surprised. And I was also pleasantly surprised by Censor because you made it seem like it was like the worst movie ever. And so
I don't think I said it was the worst movie ever.
Well, you hated it. And then when
I hate a lot of things.
When I first heard about it, I was like so psyched to watch it. And then you were like, no, it sucks. And then I kind of put it off my list for
you
a long time.
You would think that you would have learned by now that if I hate something, it doesn't really have any bearing on whether you're going to like it or not.
That's true. And it's weird.
Like, why the fuck do you listen to me?
I don't know. I just did for some reason. And that was a mistake.
And now you're blaming me.
Then I watched it and I was like, it's incredible. I've got to say, I loved it. And I can see why some people would hate it and why it could be divisive. But I think it's great. I think it's fucking bold. I think it's daring. I think it's creative. I was on board the whole way, and I know it kind of goes a bit crazy at the end.
It got so crazy.
But I was there for every fucking second of that.
Yeah, I guess it's like the arc of that movie means if you're not on board, you're just going to get more annoyed with it.
Totally. It's like, are you going to go with them on this ride?
Yeah.
Because otherwise you're going to be left behind.
Yeah.
But I was fucking there the whole time. Well, and
I'm so happy to hear that.
Thanks.
I'm being serious.
Oh, okay. Yeah, thank you. And it's such a scary concept for a movie that you'd be like somebody who watches movies to kind of give them like classifications.
They would see and some crazy shit.
Yeah, and you're always having to watch these fucked up stuff to like decide whether it should be banned. And then to see something freaky that's related to your personal life in one of those movies, like that's such a fun concept. Plus, this film really dives into the whole world of like the video nasty.
Yeah.
And the people who seek them out. And the people who kind of deal in them like covertly at their video stores. And to get to see a depiction of that kind of like underbelly of like the cinephile world at that time was so exciting and fun. And I felt seen. Like I felt like those are my people. Like I would have been friends with those people if I lived there back then.
Yeah, I completely agree. You would have. I love this movie. Maybe let me down a little bit just because, like you, I was really excited for the content. I've always been interested in, like, you know, when you look at like list of video nasties on Wikipedia.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, stuff like that. Like censorship in general is like an interesting concept to me because it's always like, why are you censoring? What's your agenda?
Yeah.
But yeah, this movie, I think like we said before, it just – maybe I should see it again because I didn't hate it. I was just not ready to go where it took me.
Right. That's okay.
Yeah.
That's okay. It's not for everyone.
Yeah, and that's fine. I do want to talk about a movie that is for everyone.
What?
I think this is a movie. It's not a horror movie, but it's fucking horrifying. This is a movie called Showgirls, starring Elizabeth Berkley from Saved by the Bell, and it is like it's body horror. It's a really terrifying dystopian satire of the showbiz industry, and it has the most upsetting sex scene I've ever seen.
Oh, you know I love those.
Yeah. It's in a pool. It's with Kyle MacLachlan. And first of all, Elizabeth Berkley's dancing in this is worse than, who's that lady, Julia Stiles in Save the Last Dance. It's so bad. And then she kind of, like, the whole way through the movie, they're like, you dance the way you fuck, or you fuck the way you dance, or something like that.
Oh.
And she really does.
Oh, so she's bad at both.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
So, like, this one's kind of been, like, resurrected. Like, it flopped when it came out. It was critically panned, but now people are like, no, it's a serious satire. And honestly, if you think that about Showgirls, you were trying too fucking hard. There is nothing to this movie. But yeah, everyone should see it because it's a really fun time.
Okay. Okay.
I just had to talk about Showgirls.
I kind of want to watch just the horrible sex scene.
Yeah, I'm sure you can find that on YouTube.
Okay. I feel like today's going to be a sexy episode.
Yeah.
Maybe unexpected if you look at the title of the episode. I certainly didn't think going into researching this that this would be a sexy episode. But now that I'm at this point of recording, I've realized it is so closely tied to sex.
I shouldn't have brought up Showgirls. I changed the whole turn of the episode. But yes, anyway, yeah, I think it is a sexy theme.
It's a sexy theme.
Bodily fluids and...
Who doesn't? And you know what's what else is sexy? The Sydney Science Fiction Film Festival.
Oh, yeah.
The program is up. Tickets are on sale. We're in Sydney. We're in Melbourne. We're in a bunch of other places like Shell Harbour.
What? So, oh, Shell Harbour. I love that place.
So if you go to sydneysciencefictionfilmfestival.com.au, you can have a look.
What dates is it running?
25th to the 28th in Sydney and I think in Melbourne.
Mm-hmm.
And then a bit later for the other cities. But
mm-hmm.
Go have a look. There's some really, really cool stuff. There's some really amazing shorts that I think are, like, incredible. Like, if you come to one of the shorts showcases, I think that's honestly a really good idea. And you get to see me.
Oh, my God, how cute.
Yeah.
I get to see you all the time, so I will not be attending.
Fuck you.
I'm just kidding.
Well, what if they want to see you?
Oh.
What if you're a draw?
That, you know what? That never even occurred to me.
that's really
how
sad.
Low my self-esteem is.
Oh, I wonder what
I really
that
hate
means.
Myself.
If you come, if you buy a ticket and you come and you want this, I will give you a hug.
Oh. I'm so glad that you specified if you want this.
Yeah, because some people don't.
That's really nice.
Yeah. That's okay too. We can just say hi.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Should we get into the theme?
Let's do the fucking theme.
All
Let's
right.
go. I'm ready.
Here's the music that I've missed so much and then we'll hit you with the theme. Crystal.
Yeah.
I love, for some reason, whenever I start a segment in the pod by saying, hey, Crystal.
Yeah.
You always know the dumbest question is coming. I love it. I absolutely love it. What is your favorite food that melts?
Oh, you know what? Something about me that I'll share with the audience.
Yeah.
I think 99% of foods are better melted. Like, if I could eat all my foods melted, I think I would.
What about
love
ice cream?
Melt. Yeah, I think melted ice cream is better.
Wow.
I really do think melting is good. So that makes it difficult for me, but.
So you like your ice cream as like a soup?
Yeah, I'd say more of like a shake. Oh. It turns into like shake territory.
Okay.
But I would say best melted food is probably like, oh, fuck, that's actually really hard. Well, does this count? Because you know how with, you know I love hot chips and you know I love the soggiest of the soggy.
Yeah, it was so soggy that so it's like soggy the potato is melting. Become
a liquid. Yeah, that's my favorite melted food.
Yeah, like especially if you add a bit of tomato sauce to aid in that sort of
And then it's just a mush. Like I guess I like a mush.
Do you like a mashed potato?
Yeah, take it or leave it.
That's so interesting. That is basically the same food
item. It's
too
dry. It needs more moisture.
Well, you're just making your mashed potatoes wrong.
Oh, yeah, maybe.
Anyway, the theme of the episode is not mashed potatoes. And it's not even really melty foods. It is melt movies, which is I only came across this concept, this micro genre, a few weeks ago when we decided to do this episode. So basically, a melt movie is any movie where a person's body melts. And there's a surprising amount of examples of this. Mm. And I wasn't expecting to find like such a unified aesthetic across all these movies, but there kind of is.
Yeah, there is.
What, how would you describe the aesthetic of a melt movie?
You know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of that terrible movie. What's that? What's that movie from that man from New Zealand? I'm really fucking out of it today.
Brain Dead. Do you think Brain Dead is a melt movie? It's like it's a splatter movie, which is definitely related.
I feel like the splatter movie is like the umbrella and then melt is like one of the branches of the umbrella.
I would love, you know what would be dope is if someone made a really comprehensive map of all the horror genres and how they relate to one another.
That would be, actually, we should do that.
Okay. Yeah, that could be good merch, like it's on a shirt.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, I guess everything's like that. It's very like garish and like ugly and
just gross.
Really gross, goopy.
I love goopy.
Everything, like, I feel like nobody really looks like they've melted. Everyone just looks like they have goo on them.
Well, there's definitely a few examples where, well, we could talk first about Ice Cream for Ice Cream, which is a piece that, was it We All Scream for Ice Cream?
Mm.
That Tom Holland did for Masters of Horror back in 2007. Where the people, this was like the most literal melt movie we watched where they turn into like gooey ice cream and they disappear. Do you like this one?
Yeah, because I loved Masters of Horror. As a kid, my sister and I would go crazy for that fucking show. Because I don't know if you guys have watched it, but it's like an anthology series and every episode was like a 1 hour little horror movie directed by like an established horror film director.
Mm-hmm.
It was so fucking hectic and they just do crazy shit and like, yeah, it's funny.
Yeah. I had never watched Masters of Horror before and this one gave me real like homesick from school vibes. You know what I mean? Like, oh, Ready Steady Cook's on next.
I love being homesick from school.
Yeah, me too.
I wish I was doing that right now. I am so sick.
You are home.
Oh, yeah. But I'm still at school.
Yeah, okay. I'm sorry. Okay. So I would say that that one, We All Scream for Ice Cream, it is a melt movie, but it's kind of an outlier because it's a bit more tame. Do you reckon?
Yeah, okay.
It's like
it's like a gateway melt movie.
Yeah. The melting is a bit more of like a little like fun little play on words.
Yeah.
Than anything. Whereas, well, I want to start back at the beginning with what I think is the earliest melt movie we watched, aside from The Wizard of Oz, is, what's it called? The Incredible Melting Man, 1977. So this one, I really liked it.
Yeah, it was really good. You know what was really great about it? The sound and the music, like the soundtrack, like it was so good.
Yeah, and the effects too, amazing. So this one is about a group of astronauts who are flying in the vicinity of Saturn. And then they get hit by some radiation and most of them die except this one guy, Steve, who he gets back to Earth and then he just starts to melt.
Mm-hmm.
So basically through the whole movie, he is melting.
It's pretty funny.
Our eyes. It's kind of funny.
He like leaves a little trail of like melty bits.
Like a slug or a snail. But he has to eat people to like regenerate his cells. But anyway, this movie, it's obviously a bit schlocky and it's a bit dumb. But I found this one really interesting as an entryway into the melt genre. Because from here on, I was looking out for these signifiers where it seems like all the melt movies, or most of the melt movies we watched, they have these themes of like people losing control of their bodies because of something that's been done to them outside of their control. So in this case, it's like he's in the military and he's kind of has these military overlords who's orders he has to follow. They're hunting him down through the whole thing. They take him out in the end. And it's like quite a sad death. And then from there, you've got stuff like The Blob from 1988, where it's like government mishandling of a crisis that causes all these people to get melted. So I guess it's like you can tie these recurring themes in a melt movie, like toxic waste or radiation or whatever the case is, even like disease, into like ordinary people being affected by a circumstance beyond their control.
Yeah. And it's all kind of playing on that same universal fear of being melted. But you know what I mean? It's like
are you afraid of being melted?
Are you not? Would you welcome it?
Do you think it would hurt?
Yes. I'm afraid of just – I think what it is I feel like there's this deep, unsettling kind of feeling that our bodies are permeable and our bodies are fragile and our existence is transient and everything is so tenuous.
Right.
That the melt movie really just kind of highlights this deep, deep, deep primal fear that we have that like maybe we're not as physical beings, maybe we're not as solid and as removed and separate from the world around us as we think we are.
That's an interesting take.
Do you know what I mean? Maybe, maybe these borders that we rely on so heavily, maybe they don't really mean so much. And that's scary.
I can definitely see that with the Creepshow 2 segment that we watched, The Raft. Yeah. It is not a raft, by the way. It is a pontoon.
It is a pontoon, it's a pontoon. I guess it's like a desert island raft.
Oh.
You know, if like you have to get off a fucking island.
So you've just got like those big jugs that go in the water cooler and you use them as your flotation, right?
Yeah.
Still a pontoon in my opinion. But yeah, this one has there's definitely a transgression in this where these pot-smoking teens, not a care in the world, go into a lake where there's a sign that says no swimming and inevitably they get dissolved by a giant blob. There's not much else to say.
You know what
I
don't get about this movie?
Yeah.
So, yeah, they go and they hang out on this raft to, like, have a fun day. But then this big blob that they keep calling an oil slick. They keep saying that it looks like an oil slick or an oil spill.
I think it was a tarp.
You think that's what the blob was?
Yeah.
But the fact that they keep calling it that makes me feel like they're trying to make some kind of point about, like, environmental degradation.
Okay.
But it just feels like why did they – so what they discover is they can still – on the raft, they're still vulnerable to this blob because it can come through between the slats and melt them. But so when there are two of them left, one of them's like, oh, can you like, you know, keep watch? And then this bitch that's not on watch just lies down and goes to sleep. Like, you know that it comes between the fucking slats. Like, why did you lie down? And then obviously she gets fucking burnt up. Like,
didn't he do that to her on purpose so the blob would start eating her and he could get away?
What? No. He was trying to make out with her and shit.
Well, that's gross too. She was asleep.
Yeah, but every fucking movie, pretty much all the movies we're going to talk about today involve sexual assault or attempted sexual assault. For some reason, that seems to go hand in hand with fucking melting. And you know what? I have a lot of feelings about it. Like, a lot of these movies made me feel angry and grossed out.
I think it's the Melt movie is also goes kind of hand in hand with the Trash movie.
Yeah.
Like a John Waters-esque. Yes,
very
kind
John
of.
Waters. And there's always some like man character who's like gross. And but it's for some reason it's like a staple. It's like furniture of these fucking movies. Like there has to be some like big gross guy who wants to like grope women. And I feel like I'm just annoyed because I've seen that so much in the last like few weeks as we've been researching this episode.
True.
Which also brings me to another point. I have a quick little a little diatribe, a little feminist diatribe that
love it. Go on,
that I've already kind of just said to you, but then I realized no, I need to share it with a larger audience.
Yeah,
and what better audience than the Spookies because they get it.
Yeah,
and I feel like it is related to the Melt movie.
Yeah,
so these movies they're all about goo, they're all about bodily fluids, and it made me think about the current. Like I feel like it's tied in with the current trend in pop culture and in like music and stuff for men and women to talk about vaginal lubrication in a way.
I just realized where this is going.
Yeah. In a way that kind of commends women who just are like wet all the time. Like I don't need to really go into it. You guys know what the fuck I'm talking about.
Wow.
And let me just say, I love Cardi B. I love Megan Thee Stallion. I love all female rappers and I'm not at all faulting them for, you know, hyping up this concept of the woman who's perpetually fucking wet. Yeah. But I do think it's kind of a dangerous idea and I do think it's a weird thing to pride ourselves on as women, because what it does is it takes away the responsibility of the usually male sexual partner to make that woman fucking wet. Like the idea that you can just be like, oh, I'm always wet, like that's my thing, I'm so great, men love me because I'm wet all the time. All you're doing is saying, yeah, you don't need to have, we don't need any foreplay,
put some fucking effort
in, you don't need to turn me on, mm-hmm. like I'm good to go, I'm ready. Like no, we need to stop. We need to stop like perpetuating these tropes. Men already do the bare fucking minimum and they do it poorly when it comes to sex with women. Let's not give them one more out. We should make songs about how long it fucking takes to get to that point. We should do a song where it's like, oh, 40 minutes in, now I'm ready. Like I'm just so sick of it that it's again falling on women and now we're kind of taking it on as a point of pride. I want to reject it here and now. And also, I think it's interesting. I feel like there should be more Melt movies about that.
Hey, that's an interesting idea. That would be such a nice reaction to movies like Street Trash, which we also watch, which is just like wall-to-wall with racial slurs, homophobic slurs, and sexual assault.
I really think you need to have a content warning before you watch this because I found all of the sexual harassment and sexual assault like actually very hard to watch.
Yeah, me too. And, like, the characters are just terrible people. But at the same time, there was something a little bit compelling about this movie that kind of reminded me of, like, a Mad Max, Dead End Drive-In, that kind of, like, weird, like,
is it set in the future or not?
Yeah, I know, definitely with less substance. But, yeah, like, do you think this movie is genuinely, like, that's what it is? Or do you think this movie is trying to be satirical?
I read about this movie and apparently the screenwriter was like, I'm just going to try to make the most offensive movie I can.
Oh, yeah.
And hit every fucking gross, horrible, awful thing I can put in it.
But
so, no, I don't think it's trying to be satirical. I don't think it's trying to be anything. It's just like gross and people it like it because it's got funny things like people throwing dicks around and whatever.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that scene. But the Melt scene, I love the Melt scenes in this movie. They're so
inventive. I think it's a cool device, like, to have they have this, like, alcohol that's, like, gone bad and that's the thing that melts people. At least they thought about that for 2 fucking seconds, but. Yeah, it's good melting. You're right.
It's really good melting.
It's, like, top quality melting and there's a lot of it.
Yeah.
So if what you're looking for is, like, the most bang for your buck in terms of melting experiences, then sure. This one's great.
I think there is a movie that has even more bang for your buck in terms of melting experiences, which is fucking Body Melt.
Oh, my God. Body Melt. Yes. Actually, Body Melt is the, I think, I'm going to say it.
It's the best,
it's the best Melt movie.
Yeah.
100%. It's the best Melt movie. And you know what? Homegrown, bitch.
Yeah. I think we've talked about Body Melt on a couple of occasions in the past, well, but let's do it again. That's because
it's fantastic and it's an Australian classic. And if you're, if you haven't seen Body Melt, go fucking watch
and
Body Melt.
And fuck you.
Yeah. Like, you should be ashamed of yourself.
Oh, someone on the street said that to me the other night.
That you should be, oh.
Yeah. Because my jeans were too tight.
You should have asked them if they've seen Body Melt.
Probably not.
I feel like they would have seen it. Because it's on SBS and shit all the time.
True. But Body Melt, I was thinking then, it's also got that theme of like some shadowy entity doing something to your body that you don't want. Once again, it's like not necessarily losing control of your body, but just sort of someone else interfering with your body and it having these horrible repercussions for you.
Yeah, it's almost like chemical warfare or something, like some kind of like domestic terrorism.
And once again, the strange like quasi-futuristic setting where you're like, you're not quite sure if you're in the present or like 5 minutes in the future.
It is always like there does seem to be some kind of fear of technology with these Melt movies, a lot of them anyway. Was I really weird when I said the thing about the vaginal lubrication?
Oh, why are you still thinking about that?
I don't know. Was that a weird like little...
No, it was relevant.
Okay, cool.
I can. Do you want me to edit it out?
No. I'm just checking. Like, you know, I'm just checking out. I didn't sound crazy.
It was like a cultural reset.
I think it was a cultural reset. I think it's time for a cultural reset. Do you think I have a point or nah?
Yeah, no, you definitely have a point. And do you think there's still those YouTube channels where they'll like auto-tune someone speaking and turn it into a song? Because someone's going to do that to you.
Oh, God. But anyway, Body Melt is fantastic. There's such great melting in it.
The best. And also like exploding.
Yes. Lots of really things long happening tongue. To bodies. But then, yeah, they've put a lot of thought into the plot.
Yeah.
Which cannot be said for all of these movies.
This one has the perfect balance of an engaging plot, humor, and also just, I think a lot of people, if they're coming to a Melt movie, they want effects. They want the special effects to be gross and funny.
Yeah. You want it to kind of tickle you in a place that feels kind of like, you're like, oh, that feels kind of weird, but I want you to keep doing it. Like that feeling.
Yeah.
Do you think?
Yeah, totally.
Like kind of when you like tickle the underside of your foot and you're like, oh, I hate it. But I can't
or
stop.
Scratching a mosquito bite.
Yeah.
Oh, no, that's just good.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Well, you know when you like rub your tongue against the roof of your mouth and it like, it feels like kind of itchy and bad, but like you just want to keep doing it.
What about when you lick a tissue?
Oh, no. And then it gets stuck to your tongue.
Yeah.
Yeah. These are all great. Body Melt adjacent feelings.
Yes, that's true. Yeah, so you should watch Body Melt.
Can we quickly talk about the movie that we posted on Instagram about Society?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, I was getting there.
No, but I want to talk about it right now because, because somebody in this movie referred to their dad a few times as a butthead.
Oh, yeah.
And you asked me earlier like if I'd ever called my parents that, and then we wondered what would happen if I called my mum a butthead. So I've decided,
are you gonna call her now and call her
a No, I think I'll just text her.
Okay.
How
quickly do you think she'll reply?
She's always on that damn phone. I'm gonna text her and call her a butthead. I'm just gonna see what she says because I really don't know. But anyway, that was a suggestion that we got to watch that movie. And honestly,
perfect Melt movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not as good as Body Melt.
Not as good as Body Melt. It's, I don't even know what to say about it.
The interesting thing about Society is, like, Society is obviously intended as satire, unlike Street Trash. And it does actually say something about like these wealthy enclaves of white people that kind of typify the American dream who are just kind of gross and incestuous. And then once again, you get to the climax of this movie, which is like a notorious scene. I don't want to spoil it for anyone, but it is like peak body horror, peak Melt stuff.
Yeah. It's called the shunting.
The shunting. And once again, there's like this loss of bodily control. Someone is doing something to your body without permission.
And that's the thing that really fucks with me. Like, that's what's hard for me to watch. Like, even this shunting had some moments where I was like, I don't feel good about it.
Yeah. But it also, it's supposed to be funny.
It's supposed to be funny, but you're watching somebody be violated.
In like the most intense way.
Yes. And then the music's like all whimsical.
Do, 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 do. Yeah.
I really don't know what to take from that movie. Like, every part of it was just so
weird,
revolting.
Yeah.
And I guess that's the MO of a lot of these melt movies. It's like they want to be revolting, but I don't think I love being in that space personally.
You know what I just realized is a melt movie?
What?
Is The Color Out of Space. You remember how they get conjoined and like they become that weird blob?
Okay. That's a great one. And also I feel like that should be in like very high up on the list.
Oh, okay.
Like that's better than a lot of these. That's just a great movie. Yeah. And that's also a great melting.
It's such a good melting.
It's such a good melting. It's like scary. That made me feel
disgusting.
It's one thing to make a melting that's kind of gross and funny and awkward. But to make a melting that's all those things plus really actually terrifying, that's hard to do. And I feel like society had a lot of those moments too where it was like something that's so against nature that it kind of just makes you feel a bit freaked out.
Yeah.
That movie had body parts going fucking everywhere. Like things – everyone's just all twisted and, like, turned around.
Yeah, and it's so – in places, it's so subtle about it that you're just, like – it's almost like an uncanny feeling.
Yes, yes, and that I love that. And then the fact that there's also this sense of, like, community and sense of not having these, like, barriers between people. Like, the edge of your body is not actually a barrier. You're kind of, like – you and everybody around you, you're all kind of one body,
mm-hmm.
and people can transgress each other's bodies in this way that they seem really fucking happy about and comfortable with.
Yeah, but you're like not feeling it.
Yeah, maybe it's something about like an individualistic society versus collectivism of society in this movie.
It's definitely something about a loss of bodily autonomy.
Mm-hmm.
And I think in a lot of these movies, maybe not bodily autonomy necessarily, but there is just a loss of autonomy. Like if we go back to The Blob, like the everything that happens in The Blob, or I haven't seen the original, but this is the 1988 version. Everything that happens in The Blob is down to kind of like this government hubris and this idea that these people living in this small town, which is in the grips of an economic recession, are kind of not worth saving, and instead they're going to focus on saving the blob, which is this government experiment that's gone awry.
Yeah.
But they don't give a fuck about the people in the town.
It's all very – it all seems to be very focused on socioeconomic difference, like all of these movies.
Even Street Trash had that.
Yes, totally, because Street Trash is set – in the world of these homeless people who live
in a junkyard.
Yeah. For some reason, the melting really seems to tie into that. I don't know what it is. Like, I guess what does melting – like, melting is kind of disgusting and dirty and gross and it makes you think about bodies in this way of them, like, kind of spilling over and being too much and being too real.
Yeah.
And I think you associate that with people who are from a lower socioeconomic class.
Well, it got me thinking about in the context of the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure someone else has pointed this out before, but it kind of occurred to me that the pandemic affected us in a way that kind of moved up the social ladder. When it got really bad in Australia, it was not middle class white collar people that were getting sick.
Mm-hmm.
And then eventually when you got sick and I got sick, it was kind of like, oh, it's moving up the ladder now. And now we've seen people who were like obviously wealthier than us start to get sick. So it's like the melting mirrors that where it's always just like the bottom rungs that are affected.
These are the people who are like vulnerable to something that's happening.
It's like the ultimate sort of degradation of the human body.
Yeah. And it makes you feel like that's the way that the system's been set up so that people at the bottom are just expendable.
Yeah.
How fucking depressing for melt movies.
But also, like, I think that's – I don't know if you really see that explored in other horror genres, right?
Yeah, because it's really – it's not even talking about, like, okay, what are – what's the quality of life of people in these different social circles? It's literally like, what is the impact on their bodies, on their lived experiences being in these bodies? And I guess the impact is
melting.
Way less structural integrity. I watched Troll 2.
You watched Troll 2?
Yeah.
Yeah. Can you do the famous line for us?
they're eating her and then they're going to eat me. Oh, my God.
Incredible.
Fuck, that's a terrible movie. It's like somehow it really feels like a movie within a TV show, like within a comedy show where they're like, oh, everyone in this movie is such a bad actor.
Right.
It looks like people are trying their hardest to be bad at acting.
Well, I read that all the filmmakers spoke Italian and no English and all the cast spoke English and no Italian.
That's the best kind of movie, like that one I liked with the plants.
Contamination Point 7.
Contamination Point 7. That still doesn't really explain it, because I feel like if someone in Italian was to me like, oh, now you're going to be scared of this troll, if I didn't understand it, it wouldn't make me be like,
oh, my God.
Yeah. Yeah.
And yeah, they're just bad actors.
Like, the trolls are not scary, but there's some good melting.
Tell me about the melting.
You know, it's all the fucking same. You're right. All the melting in all these movies. You've seen one melt, you've seen them all. And I watched all these movies like in a row, really.
Yeah.
And I just was like, we get it with the melting.
My favorite melt is where, like in The Fly 2, when he spits the fly acid.
Yeah.
Where all the flesh melts off, but then you still have the bones left behind. A few of them do this. That's my favorite
bones
kind of melt.
Bones are good. Yeah. It's like, I wonder what's going on there.
What do you mean?
Like, how come?
How come the acid doesn't melt the bones, but it melts the flesh?
Yeah. Yeah,
good point. I don't know.
I think you brought up, and I also independently thought of this too, that like Cabin Fever is kind of a melt movie.
Mm.
Everything's like a little bit of melt movie.
Yeah, you mentioned the Greasy Strangler as well, or Mandy.
Yeah, Greasy Strangler, I feel like, there's no melting, but there's a lot of goop.
Okay.
And really, that's what
goop and melting are. There's some goop in society as well.
Greasy Strangler's a great fucking movie. Mandy's a great movie. But
tell me about Cabin Fever.
Oh, you haven't seen Cabin Fever?
I have not.
You know what's fucking nuts about Cabin? Like, let me tell you something. So, as we all know, I'm deeply, deeply in love with Eli Roth. And Cabin Fever was his feature debut.
Was it?
And it's such a great movie. And all throughout it, it's kind of referencing horror movies, like classic horror movies. Like, it's very clear watching it that this is a movie made by somebody who just loves and respects the genre. And it's good. It's funny. There's so many funny lines, so many funny characters. It's scary and it's gross. It's definitely a body horror.
That's Eli Roth's thing, is like making something that's like really scary and really gross, but also weirdly funny, but without jokes.
Yeah, like the characters are just a bit like weird.
Yeah.
Like almost like a Kramer, like a sitcom kind of feel to some parts. And the weird thing to me is that, like, I don't know, I'm going to get this wrong, but I feel like maybe like 10 years after he made that movie, he like produced a remake of that movie.
Did he?
Yeah.
Oh.
Isn't that fucking nuts?
Yeah. But that's kind of like Michael Haneke made Funny Games twice.
Yeah, but it's different languages.
Oh.
This is literally just someone made the same movie again, only like 10 years later.
I think that is big dick energy, to be honest.
Yeah.
He's like, you guys loved it so much the first time.
You know what? I don't care. Anything he does, I love. Shark Week, whatever the fuck. He's out there saving sharks. He's fucking making documentaries. Anything he does, I'm going to follow along and I'm going to enjoy it and I'm going to be grateful. But Cabin Fever it's kind of like a Deliverance feel.
Mm-hmm.
Or it's kind of like a exploitation movie.
Yeah.
Where this group of friends goes out to hang out in this cabin and get drunk and be like Friday and whatever, out in, you know,
the wilderness.
Yeah, some like, you know, country town. And then they become infected with a sickness that kind of, it makes their bodies start kind of melting away and like disintegrating and breaking down and getting all goopy and bloody.
Reminds me of like, I was always so scared of a being bit by a whitetail spider, because that's what
happens. That's what would have fucking happened to you. Yeah. You would have been in Cabin Fever.
Yeah.
And then it's kind of like the thing, and then they all turn against each other and they don't know who's infected and they're all like wanting to, you know, protect themselves. And
that's just like COVID.
It's actually a lot like COVID, and it's such a good movie. It's so good. But there's if we're talking specifically about the melting, there is like the way that this virus like affects you is quite melty. And there's a scene where this girl is having a bath and she's shaving her legs and she's kind of just given up at this point. It's like she knows, like, you know, they've gotten to the point where they know they're fucked and they're all, they just start fucking each other and they just give in to the end of the world, really. And she's shaving her legs in the bath, kind of sad. And then she gets to the part of her leg that's just like melted away goo and she just keeps shaving.
Ew.
She's just shaving this like bloody goop on her leg. Fuck, it's so good.
That's enough. Stop.
Please don't do this.
Please don't do this to me.
I highly recommend Cabin Fever. I know people think that Eli Roth is a bit of a hack, and you know what? Fuck those people. He's amazing. I love him and I love this movie and I think it's great.
I'm definitely going to see it because, yeah, I weirdly enjoyed Hostel, even though that's...
Hostel's great.
That's really not... If you told me 10 years ago that I would have enjoyed watching Hostel, I would have called you a fucking idiot.
It's all about opening up your mind and your heart.
Yes. I think I'm really glad we watched these Melt movies because it is just another kind of cinematic expression that we haven't really seen, but we haven't explored before.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to seek out that many more Melt movies to watch.
I don't know how many there are.
The Toxic Avenger is a good one. That's a trauma one that's like a bit silly, a bit dumb, but I liked it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have much else to say about it, but.
You know what we don't see much of? Like reverse melting.
Like a freezing.
Oh, okay, true. I meant like something being melted and then unmelting.
You could just watch Street Trash backwards.
True. Maybe there'll be some kind of hidden message. God, I'm really so sick. What if I've got something where I'm going to start melting away?
Don't say that because I've been in this room with you for like 4 hours now.
Honestly, it was so fun to do that reaction. We shot a fucking reaction video just fucking society. How
crazy. Keep it. If we haven't posted it yet, keep an eye on our socials. We're going to post us reacting to the famous scene in society.
Go to @SpookyBitchGang on Instagram.
Or SBG podcast on Facebook. That reminds me, I had to talk about fucking Matt Walsh, who is an absolute fucking idiot, who calls his fans SBG.
Yes, true.
I'm going to send you a verbal cease and desist, Matthew.
Yeah.
You transphobic, disgusting, homophobic, fucking Klan hood wearing piece of shit.
We hope you melt. We hope you melt in hell.
So he, I'm not going to explain why he calls his fans SBG. It does not matter. It
doesn't matter.
Just know that Monique is involved. So that's how fucking weird it is.
And just know that we're not involved at all.
Yes.
And we want to distance ourselves from him.
Yes. So.
Just so you know, in case you saw that and you thought, is this some weird collab? No, it's not.
We would never.
Never. But if you're listening, someone else, and you're not a transphobe and you want to collab, let us know.
Yeah. Love it. Okay, well, I think we've done the
melt. You know what's weird? There's not enough melting stuff that has to do with food. Like, there's not enough food in these movies.
Just the wheel scream for ice cream. That's the only one where it was good. I would do a cheese movie.
A cheese movie would be good, like a fondue movie, fondue horror movie.
Yeah.
Set in the 80s.
It would be like Sausage
fondue
Party.
Fondue Nightmare. Because those are kind of dangerous. Like, I can't believe honestly, all those people in the 80s were getting fucking doing lines
birds
of
in their mouth.
And then doing fondue parties.
Yeah.
Coked out of their brains. Like, as if no one got hurt.
I'm sure there were
with all those sharp
deaths.
Skewers.
Yeah.
But
that'd be a great horror short.
No, I feel like in Troll 2,
oh,
there's food because they have to, like, they eat the food and then that's how they get fucked up or whatever. I'm pretty sure it's Troll 2. And then the little boy takes his, like, he pisses all over the food so that they won't eat it. And, like, I don't know. It's a weird fucking movie. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Yeah, there's movies where people melt and really says a lot about who we are as people and our existential fears.
I'm surprised at the kind of like the intelligent commentary we got out of these movies.
Do you think we did?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Listen back, bitch.
Yeah, I will. I'll
run the tape back.
But I do think I'm scared of melting. I know that much.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. Just like if melt. It hurts, I'm scared. If it's painless.
Kind of at what point are you no longer a human, you know?
That's like the grain of sand paradox. Yes. My favorite. I feel like I just made a really funny face.
I wish there were more, like we should do like a video podcast or something.
Yeah, we should.
Because we do a lot of faces.
Yeah. We're both very expressive people.
Yeah. And one filmmaker did tell me that I have the face to do a video podcast. I think he was hitting on me. I won't say who it was, but anyway.
Wasn't it?
Shout out to him.
Never mind.
No naming and shaming. I'm not trying to me too anyone.
Yeah. Cool. So you guys should go watch some Melt movies. Tell us what's your favorite Melt movie. Maybe there's one we didn't mention. Let us know.
Yeah. Just tell us what's your favorite melting of all time.
Like real life or in a movie?
No, just in a movie.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's fine.
We don't go dark here.
Okay.
We keep it light and bright.
What? Do you know there is a man who's melted in real life?
What are you talking about?
He was, I think it was at Fukushima. I could be wrong. His name was Hisashi Ouchi.
Oh, no.
And they kept him alive for a really long time when all the flesh was coming off his body.
No.
It's a fucked up story. So, yeah, the melting can happen. Just avoid, like, nuclear disasters. And you should be okay.
Just for the melting.
Yeah.
Only if you're afraid of melting.
Yeah, if you want to melt, go. You go, Chernobyl girl.
Fuck.
And on that note.
Yeah, this has been Spooky Bitch Gang.
We love you.
We love you. Yeah, that's it.
All right. See you next time.
Bye, spookies.
Bye.
Okay. Well, okay. I don't think that's gonna happen again.